Oliver North joins us, the host of War Stories on Fox News. Of course, his latest book is War Stories 3. He's the prolific writer and expert on, all matters of the war on terror, terrorism, keeping our families safe, etc. Ollie, welcome back to Kogo, sir.
It is good to be back with you, my friend, and it's remarkable to be with you on a day like today. I can remember talking to you in the aftermath of 9/11.
Yep.
And here we are with what people initially thought was a 9/11 type event in New York City. Appears now to be. I'm sitting at the Fox News Bureau in Washington. We're kind of not in a lockdown or anything like that, but we're all standing by to see what we need to do in terms of covering this.
Well, a lot of precautions on this. We were talking to former Attorney General John Ashcroft in the first hour about this, and I said, it's a little weird, isn't it, that about 15 minutes after this incident in New York, you got the Justice Department saying, we don't believe it's an act of terrorism. And Ashcroft said, I don't know what they saw, but I don't know that I would be that quick to say that until you have all the facts. He said, well, maybe they did, but... But you know what the conspiracy theorists do with that, Ollie?
Oh, of course. In fact, it wasn't 10 minutes after this that I got an email, and I'll just read it to you without the addressee.
Yeah.
Hideous numerology is a clue. 9/11.
10/11 today.
3/11 Madrid.
Yeah.
7/7 London.
Yeah.
7/11 Mumbai. And now, of course, this event here in New York City. I'm inclined to think if it were terrorism, it is very unlikely that this is the kind of event that would be organized or sponsored or directed by someone like Osama bin Laden. And here's why. He is really into the spectacular stuff.
Yeah.
The big stuff. Now, granted, you've got every news network, and it'll lead the evening news tonight on all three of the standard broadcast channels. And of course, we're talking about it right now. But if it is terrorism, it's much more likely to be the kind of thing like young Adam Gadan. Adam Gadan, you may remember, not to remind you Californians,
well, he's
problems out there.
He's our neighbor, or was.
We're at Winchester, California, and left there in 95, and now he's known as Azam the American. Much more likely that you're going to find more of that kind of thing here in the next few, I would say, months or couple of years ahead, simply because they've been so successful at indoctrinating young people. We've seen that in Canada. We've seen that in Great Britain, not only with 7/7, but we saw that again in the case of these youngsters who were involved in attempting to bomb airliners coming to the United States. Now, I say that's a problem only because what you've got is very little upfront intelligence on how you would be able to predict that.
Right.
If some guy decides he gets up this morning, he says, hey, by the way, it's got an 11 in the date. I think I'll go out and do my thing today. And if he just happened to be a commercial pilot or a Part 91 or a Part 135 pilot, he goes and gets himself an airplane and flies into a building. I think it's very unlikely that this is the kind of thing that would be sponsored by Osama bin Laden or al-Zawahiri.
Well, and they're saying this is out of Teterboro Airport in New Jersey. It was a sightseeing plane of some sort. I mean, that's what we know right now.
Yeah.
Getting back to the idea of getting young people...
But I point out, I just to remind everybody, and I just did this with Neil Cavuto. I said, there was an Egyptian airliner, commercial aircraft,
yep,
that went down off Cape Cod. And the last thing, when they finally got the voice transcript pilot out of it, you hear the co-pilot screaming, what are you doing, what are you doing? And the pilot pushing the yoke right straight nose down, and it goes into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, we didn't call that terrorism, but it should have been. We didn't call the event when the young Army soldier in the 101st Airborne Division, the night before Operation Iraqi Freedom began, throws a hand grenade into a tent in Kuwait and kills several officers, and then opens fire on the survivors. We didn't call that terrorism. But it just happens that both of those men were involved in organizations that have a direct connection or are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood in one case and al-Qaeda with the other.
So are we trying to help the self-esteem of terrorists and not offend them?
Well, I don't know. I think part of it is, the uncertainty of no one's really took claim other than, the perpetrator survived in the case of the murderer in Kuwait. The perpetrator did not survive in the case of the Egyptian airliner. And I think in that case, because it was pre-9/11, gosh, we don't want to offend the Egyptians. You know, they're our allies out in that part of the world. They were with us in Gulf War One. You know, why? What? I think part of it is political correctness. But I'm also inclined to think that in this particular case, this is probably, you know, an accident, a tragic accident, and miraculously more people weren't killed.
You bet.
I mean, you got to be amazed that something that high up in the air, you've got firemen putting water on it, hauling hoses all the way up, you know, 30 floors to put it out. It is a remarkable thing to see how quickly that fire went out.
Ollie North with us here live on News Radio 600 KOGO, Fox News station in San Diego in Southern California. And, of course, checking a Fox News alert right now, there is a report out of New York that plane that ran into this high-rise is registered to Yankee pitcher Corey Lytle. And that's... Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of different information. We got a caller who wanted to ask you, is there a dirty bomb on the plane? I mean, there's a lot of people thinking, well, what else is there? And yeah, but these are the times in which we live. I mean, the president gives a very, very pointed, I thought a very good press conference this morning. Even the far left-wing reporters could follow along. He kept it very basic and kept restating, you know, let me say it again so you can pick up and take the notes, folks. We're in a war. But, you know, on that kind of a day and with all the jitters over North Korea, and of course, I know the conspiracy theorists have been saying, what if Bush somehow did that so he could fearfully get people behind him for the election. I mean, it's amazing. You know, people seem to want to explain away terrorism and the bad guys and then somehow make it always our fault in the analysis or say it's all about politics.
You know, Mark, the president's remarks today were just right on the mark. And about the jihad that we're facing and their desire to drive us out of what they call the caliphate. I mean, it was dead on the mark. It was like a promotion for this Sunday's war story show, and we'll have the vice president on. And the vice president is very direct about what we're up against, just exactly the way the president was today, the kind of thing that we're confronted by, why pulling out of Iraq and Afghanistan is not a good idea, why the jeopardy that we face and why it's been fomented the way it has. I mean, I don't think, one, I sat there and just watched it from our Fox News Bureau here and said, this is a promo for our show.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And anybody who thinks that we can just do the old cut and run and just decide, well, because we're fatigued with the war on terror, we can just stop and it'll all be better is painfully, obviously, naive.
Well, you know, right up the road from you and, of course, right out there with the fleet and from North Island, you've got naval aviators and sailors and Marines who have literally put their lives on the line. They understand it to a remarkable extent.
And you bet.
I keep reminding people that if it were all that bad, If they thought they were fighting a losing cause, if they thought that it didn't matter, the reenlistment rate in the armed forces of the United States among the combat committed units would be at rock bottom. Instead, it's never been higher.
Let me ask you about that, Ollie North, about the enlistments this week. There was a report out, hey, they're making the quotas, and you know, but then the companion piece was, well, you know, they kind of dumbed it down, which I thought was a horrible slap in the face of the military. But
well, it, of course, and that's what you expect from the left-wing media. Look, there's no doubt that the new recruitment rate is lower than anybody wants it to be. It is tougher to recruit a guy into the service or a gal into the service today than it was before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after 9/11, it spiked. There was an extraordinary number of young American men and women who volunteered to fight this jihad, and it's become tougher to do now because the news has been so dreadfully distorted coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, I bumped into a United States Army staff sergeant in the Air Force in Atlanta last week while I was changing planes. And I always walk up to these guys because they're wearing the uniforms that I wear when I'm over there covering them.
Sure.
I walked up to this young Army staff sergeant who's there in his desert BDUs, and I said, thank you for your service, and just walked on. And he recognized me and said, hey, Colonel, can we get a picture? And of course, he used his cell phone to take a picture. I mean, go figure that out.
Yep.
Right? He takes his cell phone out. We take a picture with each other. I said, how are you doing? He said, fine. I've been home for about 6 hours. He said, you know, when I left there, I thought we were winning. I didn't realize we were losing until I got home.
Wow.
Now, that tells you a lot about the way these guys feel about this war. And the fact that the reenlistment rate is as high as it is the best indicator, the best barometer of troop morale you could possibly come up with. It is tougher to recruit a new youngster into the service. We need high school graduates. They've got to be a cut above everybody else just to operate, maintain, and use the weapons and equipment we've got.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the best educated, brightest, best led and equipped military that's ever happened in any country on the planet Earth.
Amen. Ollie North with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO. And, of course, you mentioned this earlier about the Adam Gadon story and that he could face treason charges as early as today. Now, of course, he's overseas. Now, I mean, here's the guy, a Southern California guy who starts out almost like this Al-Qaeda wannabe. In one of the first videos that he issued as Azam the American, people said, he's not really serious. All of a sudden, he's in a Zawahiri video, and he's over there with these guys. What ought to be done to him if we can bring him back?
Well, I think a treason charge is appropriate. I mean, this is a guy who, and by the way, he's in our show on Sunday night. He is there. I mean, we've got this guy, and we went to right out there to Winchester, California, to where he was raised under remarkable circumstances, tracked his whole recruitment and indoctrination process, who was involved in it, name names, and I don't want to give away the end of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, but the rest of that story ought to be the apprehension of this individual, probably in Pakistan or at least along the Pak-Afghan border, brought back and made to face justice as a traitor. It's different than espionage. This is treason.
Yep, I agree with you. Ollie North with us here on KOGO. Your take on where we go with North Korea next? President talked about diplomacy, and then, I love the way today he says, let me ask my own follow-up question here. So why did we go right into what we did in Iraq? Well, of course, it was 12 years of diplomacy. Hello?
Yeah. Here's what I think. If he had asked me, and he didn't, but I'm going to put it in my op-ed anyway.
Yes.
What I think you ought to do is recall Congress into session. I know it's a campaign, but, a pox in all their houses. They ought to call the Senate to confirm Bolton ASAP, up at the United Nations, John Bolton. Fully fund and implement the missile defense system, which is not fully funded or implemented. Get a resolution that the Congress of the United States will stand with this president and all presidents to defend Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, the Philippines, against the kind of threat that they face from Kim. Deploy more Aegis cruisers and Patriot PAC-3 missile systems to defend those areas. Cut off everything in terms of aid to North Korea. We the United States gave them $210 million worth of aid in addition to more technology for the light water reactors.
Do we do a Cuban Missile Crisis kind of a blockade as well?
Sure. People say, well, who will stand with us? Let me give you the short list. Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand. And they'll stand with us in this if the United States is firm. The Japanese, by the way, don't want just a sea blockade. They want flights limited out of North Korea that they cannot fly internationally. The only exports that North Korea has got are counterfeit American currency, drugs, missile parts, and now Nukes R Us.
Mm-hmm.
And who's their number one customer? Let's see, that would be, Iran. Now, and that goes right back to the heart of what the president was saying.
Goes back to what he said about the axis of evil, and again, even laying it out again today in detail for the slow learners on Capitol Hill and in some of the media. Certainly not at Fox News, because you're on top of that. Ollie North, War Stories, of course, Sunday night, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Replays again at 8 o'clock. And War Stories 3, the latest book. Appreciate the analysis, friend, as always. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Take care. Ollie North with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO.